Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now going to attempt to cover Joshua chapter 12, verses 1 through 24, which is essentially a list of kings who had been defeated by Moses and Joshua. Moses on the east side of the Jordan and Joshua on the west side. Now, the problem with this chapter is it is chock full of geography. The geography is confusing. The maps are confusing. The names are confusing. And you're not even getting to look at the map. I have to look at the map. I'm confused with the maps. And then when I have to put it into words, you're going to be even more confused listening. So what I've decided to do is to give you a brief summary of the geography. And then I'm going to go through and pick out some of the place names mentioned in this chapter, which might be of interest, and some of which you need to know for future reference. In other words, we're going to try to see the forest instead of the trees. So let me start out by giving a summary of the stages in which this geography was occupied. We'll start with the original inhabitants on the east of the Jordan. That would be the Moabites. If you look at the Dead Sea, there's a brook Zered running from east to west into the tip of the southern tip of the Dead Sea. That's the southern border of Moab, and you go all the way up the east coast of the Dead Sea, get to the top, there's a big city up there called Heshbon, and that is basically Moab. Now you go from the tip of the northern tip of the Dead Sea up to the Jabbok River, which runs east to west about a third of the way up to the Sea of Galilee into the Jordan River, and that area is Ammon. You go north of the Jabbok River, and you go all the way up to the Sea of Galilee, and even further, perhaps, all the way up to Mount Hermon, which is at the southern tip of the Andes-Lebanon Range, and that is probably various Syrian tribes up there as you get towards Syria. Now, these boundaries are fuzzy. You look at a bunch of different maps, and they will draw the lines a little bit differently. Back then, they didn't have GPS. They didn't have satellites to draw the boundaries of the territories precisely, and so the boundaries were rough. So that's generally where Moab and Ammon were in stage one. Now, stage two is when the Amorites, certain Amorites, came over probably from the west of the Jordan and conquered this Moab and Ammon. And the two kings that did so were Og of Bashan and Sihon of Heshbon. So Sihon basically took over Moab, especially the northern part of Moab. I think he extended a little bit into the south. So let's just put Sihon all the way from the Arnon River, which slices Moab in two, running from east to west, all the way up to the northern border of the northern tip of the Dead Sea, where Heshbon is. That would be Sihon. And then he also had territory north of Heshbon all the way up toward the Jabbok River. So that would be Sihon, roughly. And then once you get to the Jabbok River and go north of that, that's Bashan, and that would be Og's territory. He goes all the way up past the Sea of Galilee. So you see, Sihon roughly had the old territory of Moab, and Bashan, or Og, basically had the old Ammonite territory plus some Syrian tribes up in the north. And now the Israelites are going to take over, and they are going to leave 2.5 of their tribes to the east side of the Jordan. And this is a little bit easier. Reuben goes from the Arnon River to Heshbon, makes a perfect little square there to the west of the Dead Sea, the northern half of the old Moab. And then we go from Heshbon up to the Arnon River, and we have another square, Gad. Now, some maps have two projecting tentacles, if you will, like a V coming out of that square going up further north. That depends on how you read a certain Old Testament text. But just to make it easier, I'm just going to say that Gad goes from Heshbon up to the Jabbok River, which is about a third of the way up to the Sea of Galilee. And now the eastern half of Manasseh goes all the way from the Jabbok River all the way up north of the Sea of Galilee, to the north of the Sea of Galilee, going towards Mount Hermon. So that's roughly the background. So let's start now with Joshua 12, verse 1. The Israelites struck down the following kings of the land and took possession of the land beyond the Jordan to the east. So now the first half of this chapter is talking about the eastern conquest under Moses from the Arnon Valley to Mount Hermon, including all the Araba eastward. Now, Araba is a geographical term that's extremely important. It's the valley, the Jordan River Valley. It starts up at the sources of the Jordan, which I've been to, and I can't remember, Benaiah, that's how it used to be called. I forgot what it's called now. And it goes all the way from there down to Lake Hula, the valley to Lake Hula, then the valley to the Sea of Galilee, then the valley that goes down to the Dead Sea, and then from the Dead Sea all the way down to the Gulf of Aqaba, that long valley, that rift, if you will. It's called the Araba. We go down to verse 2. Sihon, king of the Amorites, lived in Heshbon. As I said earlier, Heshbon is that city on the east of the Dead Sea, right at the northern tip of it. Very prominent ancient city. And Sihon, king of the Amorites were the tribe that came over from the west and conquered the old Moab and Ammon. So Sihon lived in Heshbon. He ruled over the territory from Aroer. That's a little city that's right north of the Arnon River, on the rim of the Arnon Valley. That's where Aroer is, along the middle of the valley, the middle of the Arnon River, running north to south. Put your boundary right in the middle of that valley. And then half of Gilead. Gilead's another geographical entity or reference that we need to know. That is the eastern part of the Araba, east of the Jordan River, of the valley around the Jordan River, going from the tip of the Dead Sea all the way up to the Sea of Galilee. That's Gilead. That shows up a lot in the scriptures. Half of Gilead, because he only goes up to the Jabbok River. The northern half of Gilead was not Sihon's. The southern half was. And so this boundary line that we're drawing that Sihon owed stopped at the Jabbok River. The Jabbok River is the border, and I assume that's the northern border of the Ammonites, because if you remember, the Ammonites go from Heshbon to the Jabbok River. Heshbon, by the way, in the original language, means intelligence. That's an interesting name of a city, intelligence. The ruins of this town, according to Easterns, are still seen about 20 miles east of Jordan from the north end of the Dead Sea. There are reservoirs in this district which are probably the fish pools referred to in Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 4. Interesting little factoid. Aroer, which is a city that does show up a lot on the north of the Arnon River, north side of the Arnon River, its name means ruins. The ruins are still there. It's now called Aroer, A-R-A-I-R, which is pretty close to A-R-O-E-R, still there. Now we go now to verse 3 of Joshua 12. And the Araba, still talking about where Sihon lived, and the Araba as far as the Sea of Chinneroth, which is the old name for the Sea of Galilee, towards the east, and as far as the Sea of the Araba, even the Salt Sea, that's all the way down toward the south to the Dead Sea. Now that's a little bit farther than I had Sihon when I gave you my little summary, because apparently he had Gilead all the way from the Dead Sea to the Sea of Galilee, the Araba Valley there. In other words, Og of Bashan, the other Amorite, didn't go so that far west. He didn't have the Araba Valley. And also, Sihon also had the Araba all the way down to the Salt Sea from the Jabbok River, which of course already had him. I already told you he held that from the Jabbok River all the way down to the Dead Sea. So there's a little bit extra here. He got Gilead from the Sea of Galilee all the way down the Araba Valley, Gilead down to the Salt Sea, eastward toward Beth Jeshimoth, which is a little town right there at the northern tip of the Dead Sea. At the foot of the slopes of Pisgah, right there at Beth Jeshimesh, right at the tip of the Dead Sea, it's on the eastern side. You go a little bit further east and you get the famous slopes of Mount Pisgah where Moses died, and in fact, which is named a whole bunch of places in the south. I live about 4 miles from Pisgah Crossroads, named after that mountain. We go down to Joshua 12, verse 4, in the territory of Og, king of Bashan. He's the other Amorite king. And as I said, his territory went up from the Jabbok River, except for the Araba Valley there. But his territory goes up north from the Jabbok River all the way up east of the Sea of Galilee and probably all the way up to Mount Hermon. And the territory of Og, king of Bashan. And by the way, I looked up how to pronounce Bashan. Some people say Bashan. I like Bashan better. One of the remnant of Rephaim, the Rephaim of the aboriginal giants who lived all over the area there. And these Rephaim were said to live at Ashtaroth and Edrei. Ashtaroth is a city right east of the Sea of Galilee. Edrei, you go a little bit further southeast of there at the Yarmouk River. Both of them are sort of notable places. They were the two places where Og had his palaces, most probably. Edrei is where Moses clobbered Og when they had their big battle back at the end of Deuteronomy. Bashan, of course, is noted for being fertile, verdant, full of fat cows, prosperous, and so forth. Now, these Rephaim, giants, are one of several terms in the Old Testament referring to giants. The Moabites called them Emim, E-M-I-M. The Ammonites called them Zanzumin. Some people even go back to Genesis 6 and say they were remnants of the Nephilim, but some people do not disagree with that. And then they're also called the Anakim. Deuteronomy 2:11 says, like the Anakim, they are also regarded as Rephaim, but the Moabites call them Emim. So if you see the word Anakim, Rephaim, Emim, Zamzumin, you're talking about giants, aboriginal giants, one of whom ended up fighting David at, or fighting a giant named Goliath who was from Gath. And this giant was, of course, a descendant of these aboriginal giants. Now, I mentioned Edrei here, where Og had one of his capitals. This is where Moses beat him. It's on the Yarmouk River. Yarmouk River is the river that runs from east to west into the southern tip of the Sea of Galilee. Here's what Easton says about Edrei. It's elevated about 20 feet above the plain. It is a labyrinth of clefts and crevices in the rock, crevasses in the rock, formed by volcanic action, and owing to its impenetrable condition, it has become a refuge for outlaws and turbulent characters. It is in fact an impregnable natural fortress about 20 miles in length and 15 in breadth. But still, Moses managed to beat Og there. Going back to Easton's, beneath this wonderful city, there is also a subterranean city, hollowed out probably as a refuge for the population of the upper city in times of danger. So Edrei still has left its trace in history and archaeology. We go now to Joshua 12:5. Now we're talking still about Og. He ruled over Mount Hermon, and that's way north of Lake Hula, north of Galilee, north of Hula, all the way up to Mount Hermon. Salika, which is a city that means wandering. That's just some city up there in the area of Bashan. All Bashan up to the Geshurite and Maacathite border. The Geshurite means bridge. It's the name of a district of or principality of Syria. According to Easton's, the map usually has it right at the northeastern corner of the Sea of Galilee. So there, going up toward Damascus and toward Syria, is Geshur. Maacathite is somewhere near Geshur. And Og is said to rule half of Gilead to the border of Sion, king of Heshbon. Now, this is a little confusing to me because Og is said to own half of Gilead to the border of Sion. Well, we just had Sion ruling all the way up the Arba Valley, all the way to the Sea of Galilee, as the previous verse said. So I'm assuming that this half of Gilead is going from east to west. He's got half of the Gilead, which, of course, is the Arba Valley east of the Jordan River, that area. And so Og has got half of that because that's his border with Sion of Heshbon. All of this is not going to affect your spiritual life too much, I guarantee you. We go now to Joshua 12:6. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the sons of Israel defeated them. That's Og and Bashan. Og and Sion. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh as a possession. Of course, these are three of the 12 tribes of Israel. The Reubenites, if you look at a map, the Reubenites go from the Arnon River up to the Heshbon. It makes a nice square. And then you go from Heshbon up to the Jabbok River. You got another square, but then there's two little antennae, if you will, of V branches of land sprouting out from that square. And it makes Gad look like a molar tooth that's been pulled and turned upside down. And then Manasseh is north of the Jabbok River all the way up to Mount Hermon. And that looks like a tornado. According to some maps, I say a tornado because of the two ends of the molar tooth who are slicing into Manasseh's territory, and what's left is kind of like a tornado. That assumes Gad really is a molar tooth. The roots are an alternative version. Some maps have those teeth, some maps don't. It's just easier to say Gad is a square from Heshbon to the Jabbok River, and north of that is Manasseh, the half-tribe of Manasseh, eastern Manasseh, the western half of Manasseh, of course, is on the other side of the Jordan. We go now to verse 7, Joshua 12. Now, these are the kings of the land whom Joshua and the sons of Israel defeated beyond the Jordan toward the west, from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even as far as Mount Halak, which rises toward Seir. And Joshua gave it to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their divisions. Now, we are now moving at verse 7 from the east side of the Jordan to the west side of the Jordan, which Joshua conquered, not Moses. He starts from Baal Gad. Baal Gad is the source of the Jordan River, called Benaiah sometimes, Penuel, I think sometimes. I can't remember. It's had so many names, and I remember it because I was there once on a tour of Israel, and it's sort of a picturesque place, sort of hilly, got little springs here and there. It doesn't look like a river. That's the source of the Jordan, famous Jordan River, and it's called Baal Gad. And even today, they have caves up there with a bunch of pagan deities still in the caves. But at any rate, you go there and you go, that's as far north as you're going to get for Israel. And you go all the way as far as Mount Halak, which has been lost, but it's somewhere down there around the area of the Dead Sea, the Negev in the south, the southwest. Mount Halak is said to rise towards Seir. Now, Seir is a range of mountains. It's easy to remember. It goes from the southern tip of the Dead Sea all the way to the Gulf of Aqaba on the east side of the Araba Valley. And those mountains, of course, belong to Edom. Going out of Joshua 12:8. In the hill country, in the lowland, in the Araba, on the slopes, and in the wilderness, and in the Negev. The Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Now, of course, this could be confusing too, but this phrase, these phrases turn up a lot in the scriptures. And it's, if you'll think of the map of Israel this way, the geography of Israel this way. Hill country, that's a ridge of mountains going north to south, right in the center of the promised land, like a spine, if you will. That's the hill country. The lowland is you go west toward the Mediterranean Sea, the land flattens out and becomes a plain, sometimes called the Shephelah. That's the lowland, right along towards the Mediterranean Sea. The Araba, if you go from the hill country in the center of Palestine and you go east till you hit the Jordan River, the Araba is the valley around the Jordan River. Now, the other phrase, on the slopes, is not really clear, at least not according to all the commentators I read. So I take what slopes means, just the bottom part of the hill country as you go east and as you go west. The foothills, in other words, of the hill country, right? The boundary between the hill country and the plains. And the wilderness is always the southern wilderness, the desert down there, the Negev. So that's just the general description of the geography of Israel right there in verse 8 of Joshua 12. And then the Canaanite tribes that are mentioned there, I've mentioned them over and over again as we've gone through these audios. So briefly, real quick, the Hittites are the remnants of that famous Hittite empire that took over, that covered the current country of Turkey. There were some Hittites down near Hebron, west of the Dead Sea. And then there were a lot of Hittites up around north of, between Galilee and Hermon, if you will. And that makes sense because that's where Turkey and Syria borders on Israel, and the Hittites were up there. The Amorite, that was the monstrous tribe, a big, big, powerful tribe. Of course, they were had all on the east side of the Jordan River because Sihon and Og were Amorites. And on the west side of Israel, they came all the way from the Negev up to somewhere on a line that comes from the Jabbok River, where the Jabbok River intersects the Jordan River coming from the east. And then if you pretend, if you just keep going on an imaginary line to the Mediterranean Sea, the Amorites held that land going from the south up to that point. And of course, the name Amorite, the tribe of the Amorites was so powerful that sometimes all of the ites in the Promised Land were called Amorites, just like sometimes they were all called Amalekites, and sometimes they were all called Canaanites. So there's a general Amorite term and a specific Amorite term you have to distinguish. And then the Canaanites, again, they're a powerful tribe too. They're the ones up around Phoenicia, Tyre, Sidon, present-day Lebanon. Sometimes they are referred to as that Pacific tribe, and sometimes their name is a general term given to all the tribes. Then the Perizzites, Easton says they're right around Mount Carmel, right around Dor, right there on the Mediterranean coast. The Hivites, the Gibeonites, the famous Gibeonites that made that deceptive treaty with Joshua, they were just right north of Jerusalem, a couple miles. But generally, the Hivites are in the Lebanon Valley, the old Koilo-Syria, between the Lebanon and Anti-Lebanon ranges, and the Jebusites were around Jerusalem. So these tribes can be roughly located. And again, it's not going to improve your spiritual life too much if you learn these, but it just makes it a little easier to read the Old Testament. Now let's go back to the Amorites. They're mentioned here. They're kind of interesting because in this land of Semites, with the olive swarthy skin and the dark hair, the Amorites had fair skins, light hair, blue eyes, aquiline noses, and pointed beards. They know that by looking at the Egyptian monuments, and the Egyptian monuments named them, and so the archaeologists know what they look like. That's interesting. You got a bunch of Caucasians down there, or it sounds like they're Caucasians, in the middle of a bunch of Semites. So that kind of helps them stand out. Another thing, according to Easton's, is they're supposed to have been men of great stature. Big, their king Og is described as the last of the remnant of the giants. And I don't have the site here, I skipped it, but Og is said to have a bed that was 13 and a half feet long and 6 feet wide. That's big, folks. All right, so the Amorites were big, they were warlike mountaineers, they were Caucasian looking. And another interesting fact about the Amorites, their language. There's only one word that survives. The word is Shinir, and that's the name the Amorites gave to Mount Hermon. And Joshua 12 finishes up verses 9 through 24, listing the kings that were taken. The king of Jericho won, the king of Ai won, the king of Jerusalem won. And we're not going to go through all those kings. Many of these places we've already gone through in the previous chapters in Joshua. There's a couple of new ones that are not mentioned. But we're going to not get into the weeds on that one. We're going to finish and just summarize this by saying at the very last part of the verse, the verse 24, at the very last part, it says that in all there were 31 kings that the Israelites conquered. Not bad. Not bad. Ladies and gentlemen, we have now finished our summary of Joshua 12. In our next audio, we will turn to Joshua 13. There's 33 verses at Joshua 13. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to cover them all in one audio, but Chapter 13 concerns land that is still to be conquered by Joshua. We've just gone over in chapter 12 the lands that were already conquered by Joshua and Moses. Now we've got land still to be conquered. And we're going to look at the Transjordan area, Reuben, Gad, and half Manasseh. I hope you stay tuned for that. I hope you enjoyed this audio.